Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John. And once again, we are joined by our good friend, Kaff.
Hello, everyone.
And
this week we are remembering the tooth. Oh,
my goodness. we're doing a little impromptu dentistry today. So as we left off yesterday, UA is crouching down to eye level, paralyzed Leto, explaining to him his betrayal.
He's pixel peeking around the corner.
Yeah, he's jiggle peeking around the corner. For you non-gamers in the audience, that means that he's just quickly strafing side to side to, you know, only get his eye out of the corner just for a second.
Good. Thank you, because I had no idea what that meant.
Sorry, Zach.
So UA is explaining his betrayal and his reasons. We talked a little bit about the satchel that UA started undoing as he was getting down to eye level with Leto, and we finally see the contents of that satchel, and in there is a little white box, and he kind of props the box open almost like he would like a jewelry box or a ring box.
A very ornate box.
Pretty sure I have the thumbnail for today's episode is that box. Instead of a ring, it's a tooth. It's a fake tooth with two very long and very not comfortable looking metal spikes coming out of the bottom of it. And having recently had my wisdom teeth taken out a few months ago, that looks not comfortable.
I have a weird thing about like teeth horror.
Yeah.
Like if stuff happens to people's teeth, like that scene in American History X haunts me.
Oh God. Yeah. No,
I get the bite the curb scene. Mm-hmm. I hate it so much.
Maybe the silver lining here is that whatever this thing is being received to is already in there.
Fair.
Yeah.
Because he did say that I will replace your pec tooth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, okay. I had a note about this. I'm skipping ahead just for a second. But does he say peg tooth or back tooth?
Peg, according to the subtitles.
That's what I thought. Okay. So peg was on the subtitles for sure. But when I listened to just the audio, I could have swore he just said back tooth.
A peg tooth is a actual like thing though.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Cause you hear about like all these spies and stuff from the Cold War. Mm-hmm. That had peg teeth with a cyanide tooth.
Okay.
So like that was like an actual thing.
Oh, okay. Hey, well, you learn something every day.
Is the thought here that Leto had an implant at some point?
I'm sure. I mean, that was actually a question that I had for you. If the encyclopedia mentioned
it, just says
anything
peg tooth
at all. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's some reasoning for it.
Do you think he had to like grind it down in this moment? Like if he had just normal good teeth, he had to like, or he just pulled it out and
he'd probably there's probably just like a dummy, like normal tooth. And then like, I don't know, maybe it's used if there's ever kind of like any envoy mission that Leto would have had to been sent on. And like, he needs a cyanide pill or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know. I couldn't find any like additional.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
Oh, so I completely missed that point. Is the thought process here is that Leto had a suicide pill in his mouth this whole time? Because I had thought of it as a peck tooth. Like, I don't know if his tooth rotted or something at some point, and he just had like a fake tooth in there.
That could
like
be.
Literally like a dental implant.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be. So back to the tooth. I guess the idea here is, when he bites down on this tooth, that UA is going to put in his mouth, it will eject a poison, and it will be his last breath. But whoever he is closest to or he is around, it also has a high likelihood of killing them.
If you choose the right moment.
Yeah. Right. Yep. So the thought process here, the person that he wants Leto to kill is the Baron. You know, I think UA knows that he's not going to be afforded the opportunity to do this. I don't think there's a scenario where the Baron would let UA in close enough, you know, within proximity, so he could, you know, kill him himself. But the book states that there's definitely going to be like a period of like gloating that the Baron will engage in, and that will be the moment when he's least expecting it for Leto to chomp down, expel this this poison, and kill the Baron for UA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's the most undetectable way to get a weapon into the Baron's presence. That's for sure.
Yep.
Yep. It'll bypass scanners, etc. Especially, I will not be on those episodes, but especially as when you guys eventually discuss how Leto is presented to the Baron, right? There's no way to hide a weapon.
Yeah.
So I will save that for. I'll be looking forward to listening to that and some of those, you know, camera work that have to be done to make that happen.
There's a few ways.
Yeah.
Leto's still got the old prison pocket.
I still can't get over how ornate that case was for the tooth, because especially in last week, you guys talked about how ornate the little, you know, shot of water with the two pills presented on the wood. I'm like, who's making those for Yue? Is he making them himself?
Yue just in his, like,
he's
his
a, side he's a gig woodworker.
He's just fucking whittling some pill trays and stuff.
I mean, I ain't mad at it.
Yeah.
that's some shit that I do.
I was gonna say you're into like artisan shit, like leather, you know, work and dyeing.
I'll sit down and watch TV and whittle a spoon.
Yeah. I have a spoon that you've whittled.
Yeah, it's nice.
Oh, that's great. That's
it's a good sauce spoon.
Yeah, it's a great little spoon. I need to do that again. I haven't done that in a long time. So I think is that all the dialogue we get from Yue and Leto at this point?
That's the only thing that I have.
Not a single instance of Remember the Tooth.
I know.
It's like 12 times written on the page. Literally, I think it was about 12 times on the page written down. Remember the tooth. And it makes sense in the book, right? Because here you have a very disoriented, almost falling asleep Leto because of the drug. And remember the tooth, right? So that when you wake up, that's the first thing on your mind.
I was so upset we didn't get a single remember the tooth. But, you know, that's... We can't have everything, I guess.
The audience will remember.
You can always go back and watch the Lynch... To get your tooth remembrance. But yeah, we don't see the moment that UA, you know, conducts some impromptu dentistry, but I'm sure it felt fantastic because it seems like Leto can still feel everything, he just can't move. So hopefully the peg tooth replacement is quick and relatively painless.
In the book it's implied that he's gonna knock him out to do it.
Yeah.
But we also don't get like it kind of cuts away from that scene in the book a little bit before.
Yeah. We don't have any confirmation.
Yeah.
The instrument that, UA is holding the peg tooth with though, almost reminds me of the same instrument that they use in A Clockwork Orange to
hold your eyes open,
keep the eyes held open.
I'm intimately familiar with
this. I know you are because you just had LASIK.
Yeah, but yeah, I had one. I had some used on me not 2-3 weeks ago.
Also, would that suggest that there's another instrument that would remove the currently in place back tooth? Like,
figured more like regular dental looking instruments,
just a set of pliers.
Well, I think what I'm asking is, he's got it ready to go. Has he already removed the one that's in the mouth?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe. We don't linger here though. We cut right from this scene over to a shot of those wooden bowls that we just talked about. So we get the glass of water with sans pill here, no pill left.
No pill, no water.
Empty glass, recently drank from the looks of the water still lining the walls.
Yep. And we see Paul in bed.
Who's just knocked the fuck out.
I want to know what drugs these were.
Yeah.
I need some.
My notes say I'm a little jealous. I could use some sleep like that.
Yeah. Very ornate headboard as presented earlier.
In fact, he's sleeping so well that he doesn't hear the Harkonnen soldier quietly opening the door to his room.
Was it? Yeah, it was Harkonnen, not Sarkar, right?
Yeah,
it was Harkonnen because he was in, you know, the black armor and everything. We do see, you know, a camera, so camera perspective, you know, on top of Paul's head looking down at his face. We see his eyes flutter a little bit, but nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
Well, his eyes flutter and it immediately cuts to the palm grass, as you guys say, burning.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank
which,
you. Thank you.
Which is a nod to one of the original dreams very early in the movie that he was having, right?
Yeah, and I initially
it makes me wonder if this is what he predicted or foresaw in the opening scene.
I think it is. So when I saw his eyes flutter and then we immediately go to the palm trees burning, I thought this was another like vision that he's having.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're absolutely right. That is, it's meant to invoke that, but then we see, oh no, other stuff's happening. Other people are here. This is real life. But I absolutely think this was the vision that he saw way back when, you know, early on. Didn't know what to make of it, obviously, because he didn't know, you know, the context around it. But this was something that he saw.
Yeah, so I do think the eye twitching was a nod to like, hey, remember this happened? But yeah. Like, oh no, this is actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the first of Paul's vision. The first time that we see one of Paul's visions come to fruition. And we kind of talked about, I think it was last week or maybe the week before. It would have been the week before where like we had the theory that like Paul's visions show multiple different outcomes in the future.
Yeah. Well, they can change. They're not always accurate. Yeah. They can change.
But this we're finally at that like kind of inflection point of. Mm-hmm. Where his dreams become reality. And that was one of the questions that Moheim had for Paul after the box moment was I don't remember the weird English way of her asking, do your dreams come true?
Do things always happen as you see them?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he says not exactly. Like
sometimes or whatever.
Yeah. He says not exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, so we get the palm trees on fire, and we see a bunch of Atreides troops kneeling, all in a line.
Yep,
men and women in this line. I don't know if you paused to look at some of them, but men and women in this line. So, just everyone that they can round up from the castle. They're
anyone that wasn't killed.
Yeah, anyone who's not already dead. Yep, and guess who's back? Back again. Raban is back. Hide your friends, I guess.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
In your guys' note, when does this minute... What is the frame that ends this minute exactly?
He gets down to the end of the line.
Yep.
And he's just like looking super pissed. So he doesn't do anything. Yeah, he doesn't do anything in this minute. He's just walking down the line of the prisoners.
Yeah. His big, clunky Dave Bautista body.
You know what I'm saying? He's going to feed them, right? That's what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really hot out. He's getting them water, actually.
He's going to shake their hands one by one and tell them they did a good job.
It's like the end of a Little League game. Both teams line up, shake hands, good game.
Yeah. Well, if we stop watching the movie right now, you can just keep that in your head.
Yep. But yeah, that's where our minute ends. So. Yeah.
So some book notes here. I think a lot of this stuff is things we've already talked about. The part that is missing from Leto and UA's conversation that we talked about yesterday, just kind of organically, but UA tells Leto that he informs him that Wana did teach him some truth saying stuff. Like he has, you know, he can do that ability, not all the time, but when he needs to, he can. So he makes it a point to say, you know, after he says, you know, I'm not going to get the chance to kill the Baron. I won't get that close. But as soon as I'm around him, I'll know. Like, I'll know what happened to Wani. Like, he's going
to
be able to.
I just need to look into his eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is his end goal. All he needs to do is to get around the Baron for him to know and to use those mini gesture skills that he's learned.
he wants closure. He knows he's going to not live very long, and he needs closure on Wana.
Yep. And yeah, just despite all this, I mean, he still wants to help Paul out. And, you know, I thought that line that he said, "For Paul, I'll do what I can."
Yep.
Was a not an echo, but kind of a rhyme to what Moheim said to Jessica right before she left. We've done all that we can on Arrakis for you. So a nice little loose parody between the two characters.
Who parody, P-A-R-I-T-Y, not Weird Al.
Yes. thank you for that. I was a nice little parody there. And then the only other note is Room of the Tooth.
Remember the tooth.
Gaff, anything else from your end?
No. Wonderful minute. I think kind of, you know, this minute and the minute prior is almost really sort of like the major kind of, I wouldn't call it plot twist, but sort of inflection point twisting, you know, the everything changes after this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking, you know, just thinking ahead in the movie, I mean, we get a couple more fight scenes, but this is like the pinnacle of the action, really, in the movie.
In Dune Part One,
in Dune Part One, we get the desert fight scenes, we get some exciting moments in the desert, but in terms of like shit's hitting the fan,
this is the highest, most octane fighting.
Yeah,
I think I wouldn't say it's the tensest though.
No, it's not. It's definitely not that. But this is where everything is
definitely
going
the
down.
Biggest scale fighting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
let's come back tomorrow for our and finish off the week with some real good fighting.
I was going to say we're not done talking about some fighting just yet. So
we got some of the best is ahead of us right now. So cool. So if you want to connect with us on our various socials, you've heard them a million times, but I'll say them a million more times. We are on Instagram at The Dune Minute. We're on Twitter at Dune Minute. If you'd like to send us an email, we are at duneminute@gmail.com.
That's it, and we'll see you tomorrow for a Friday episode to close the week out.
All right, see you then.
See you.